Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. By the way, Tom also has a great tailgate, doesn't he, Sean?
Tom and Corey and Steve and the crew at the Sunbury Motors / Brewers Outlet / Purdy Insurance trifecta tailgate.
It is, and it is perfect. Great spot, too. Speaking of Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Best selection of beer anywhere. And the special at Brewers Outlet between now through Tuesday is Milwaukee's Best Light, ice and regular. 24-pack cans, $9.95. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. The pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, is indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up for the weekend now. Stock up for the tailgate now. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. As I mentioned, we are in the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Going to the ninth inning last night, the Royals led the Cleveland Indians 2-1. The Indians tied the game up in the bottom of the ninth inning at 2-2, and then in the 10th inning, Tom Hamilton picks up the story.
Bruce awaiting the 2-0 pitch. Here it comes. A swing and a drive to deep right. Down the line, base hit. Into the corner. Around third. Coming home, Ramirez. It's a game winner for Jay Bruce. And history marches on.
Another great call by Tom Hamilton, who's been the perfect guy to call this streak. I feel Tom's the kind of guy that brings games to life and gives games life. So the Indians now have won 22 in a row. Again, Tom Hamilton with the call on WTAM in Cleveland and the Indians Radio Network. Our privilege to bring in Michelle Marciniak, who had a great career at the University of Tennessee for Pat Summitt and now is doing something to honor Pat Summitt and to help others along the way. Michelle, we welcome you to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
She is, by the way, the co-CEO of Cheeks. It's great to have you on board, and we wish you best of luck, by the way, with that venture. It sounds like a great venture you've put together there.
Yeah, we're really growing. It's a performance fabric bedding company, and we started, you know, probably seems like a long time ago now, but it takes a long time to build a brand, and you know, we've got really great performance fabric products for the, you know, for your home, and we've been developing a Sheik's sleep system over the last couple of years. So now we not only offer sheets, which is how we got into the business, but the entire bed ensemble of how all the fabrics work together, and with pillows, performance pillows, mattress pads, duvets, you know, comforters, duvet covers, and we just launched our performance mattress line, where we offer four different mattresses and a bed-in-a-box concept as well. So we're we're busy, we're excited, you know, at the growth of the brand, and just you know, just trying to take it one day at a time, but you know, push forward and get as much done as we can.
We wish you nothing but the best with that. Nothing but the best.
Pedal
for Pat, which will be October 17th through the 28th. Now, as somebody who in his career so far has announced 1,036 Penn State basketball games, she won 1,098, I mean, which is amazing.
It is.
And I'll get into that in a moment. I want to get to the fundraiser, though. How'd you come up with the idea of a mile for each one of Pat's wins?
You know, it was the co-chair of the event, Josh Crisp, really was the founder of the idea, and he just he was a Tennessee guy his whole life. He runs and owns a few nursing homes in the Southeast, and you know, of course, his patients are they're laden with majority of them with some form of dementia or Alzheimer's at the end of their life, and Josh just he really wanted to do something to honor Pat. He really respected her, and so I saw what he was doing in Pedal for Pat on Twitter, and I contacted the Pat Summit Foundation. I said, who's this Josh guy doing this Pedal for Pat ride? Because I would do something like this in a heartbeat, and I absolutely love the physical aspect of this. And so I talked to Josh, and he probably spent 15-20 minutes talking about his passion behind the event, and I just told him, I said, I'm all in. The memory that is in my heart and my mind of Pat, and just the meaning behind this ride. And, it was so hard to, when she was going downhill, for the last 5 years, before she died, because you really couldn't do something like this because she was still alive. So you can't treat her like she's gone when she's not. And, it's the severity of this disease. You knew she was going to go. And, so then once she died, I had like a year of grieving where I didn't talk about Pat to anybody. I just didn't even bring it up. And this idea from Josh really sparked in me, and it was like a lightning bolt that hit me. It was just like, I have to do this. I will do this. There's no question about it. And I want to do the entire ride. So I'm not, he thought I was going to say, I'll do 100, cause we're riding 1,098 miles. That's about 100 in 12 days, so it's about 100 miles a day. And when I told him I'm all in for the entire ride, he almost dropped the phone. He's like, really? It's like, yep. So it's so super meaningful to just honor Pat like this, but also this awful disease. I mean, it's sixth leading cause of death, in this world, and it's probably speeding up, to be less than that soon. And so we need to do something, that's for sure. And when it hits you personally, like it hit me, with my coach and, other people's families, it's just, you have to act.
Yeah, I lost my father to it in 2004. And everybody reacts in different ways, but I felt when he passed away finally, I felt like I'd lost him twice.
Interesting.
Because you go in there and I'm sure the last time you saw Pat, did she even know who you were, or was because I know with my father the last couple of years he didn't know who I was. I could have been the janitor.
Yeah, no, she didn't know.
And that's hard. 100%, and that's hard.
No.
Yeah, that's really really hard. What did Pat teach you along the way? And it might be a list, Michelle. If it's a list, I'd love to hear the list that sticks with you every day and is part of the fabric of who you are.
I would say the main thing is just to like absolutely put your heart on the line and every single day, because nothing in her playbook, nothing was ever good enough. And you can't, at a certain point, it's just like something has to be good enough, but it's what made her great, And so she was do it again. Great. Do it again. Good job. You're not there yet. Do it again, because you have to do it again perfectly before you can actually master something. And so that was her philosophy, was if you're going to master something, and I need you to master your position as a point guard, as a leader, and I need you to do things like you're doing them literally in your sleep, they become such secondhand nature to you, as a point guard. So, I think she really stressed work ethic, and not only working, hard, but working smart. You can go out and, even with the cycling, you can ride, X amount of hours, but how many miles did you get? in the X amount of hours, because if you only got 10, that's really bad. If you put in 60, you know, you're putting in really smart hours, and you're working hard, and you're getting the benefit, you know. And so I think for me, Pat was, she was powerful in my life, and she was so tough, especially on, she was tough on everyone, let me just say that, but she was exceptionally tough on her point guards, and she was exceptionally tough on me, because I think she saw a little bit of herself in me, and she always wanted to push me to my limit, because that's how she was brought up. That's how her father pushed her, and she didn't know any different. Than I always say, you come to Tennessee and you're not winning ball games. You're competing for championships, and she made that very clear. So there was a if you don't like it, go. That's okay. Yeah. You can leave. You know, that's perfectly fine with me, because we're gonna do this. We're gonna do this my way. And I'm going to get you to lockstep with me, believe in what I'm doing, and it's going to be painful at times. And it was. But you know what? She was, like, just successful. I mean, so successful in her approach. And that becomes more and more, I didn't like it. At times, sure. I hated it. But the older I've gotten, and you know, somewhat with kids in society today, a little bit more relaxed attitude, I think. You know, it's just like if you want to be on top, you have to make sacrifices of your time, you know, and your personal life, and there's certain things that you have to do in order to say, all right, I want to be the best, and if I want to be the best, I'm willing to do this. And that was always her mentality, and she held our feet to the fire like that all the time.
What does it tell you, though, in a moment of reflection here? And obviously, we all saw your career. You had a great career there. But what does it tell you that someone who understood greatness saw a little bit more in you and pushed you to get to that point?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel honored. I mean, think about what you just said. I mean, you're talking about the greatest coach of all time, you know, and I was in the throes of her stares 24/7 for years of my life. I mean, yeah. There's no one that got stared down more than I did, and you know, finger pointed in the face and a jersey tug. Probably couldn't get away with that in today's world, but you know, it was just like she was. I mean, I feel incredibly blessed to have been, you know, to have experienced just her way. I talk about her aura, you know, just like the way that she was. She was extremely professional every time. She was gracious. She was humble, you know, and yet, you know, she was, you know, she was teaching us these, you know, these lessons. And the good thing about me, and I think she knew this, I was a sponge. I was paying attention. Mm-hmm. I was listening to everything that she was saying, and I was watching everything she did. And so she had someone, I think, to answer your question, it was like she knew that there was something in me that wanted to be the best.
That's,
you know,
right.
And that's why, I mean, I think she saw that in me, and she was just like, okay, I got you, and she did, and I'm going to get you to where I think that you want to be, and I know that you can be, and I believe in you, but it's not going to be easy.
But there's also transitions in life as well. You transition out of the program, she transitions going forward, you now become a former player that did great things for her along the way, which also did great things for yourself as well. But did that then change the relationship, and did you then see a different side of Pat Summitt?
I did. That's a great, it's really that transition point is so true. I mean, when I came, when I first got out of playing, you know, I was a professional basketball player, and then I coached at the University of South Carolina as an assistant coach, and then I had to coach against her and recruit against her, and that was just stupid. That was like the most ridiculous thing, you know, that anyone can possibly do, because it's just not, you just don't win. she had just, you know, she had the entire, you know, world, you know, she eight, you know, national championships at, you know, at the time, and I was trying to recruit against her, and I mean, it was just no contest. And so I was really miserable when I coached at South Carolina against her in the SEC. I think it affected our relationship. I wasn't that close to her at that time for those 5 years because we were competitors, oddly. I mean, this happens to a lot of her former players. You she becomes your friend, your coach, your mentor, your friend, and then all of a sudden you go coach and you're recruiting and trying to win games against her, and she just drums you, and it's not very fun, and it's hard to have that, keep that, you know, that relationship, you know, because you're in a competitive situation, but it's still there. I mean, you've built something over the years. It's still there. And, you know, I think for me, where I got close to Pat was when I ventured off and became, you know, a entrepreneur and co-founder of Sheiks, because, you know, I went and did something that nobody that she's coached has done. I mean, there have been some entrepreneurs that have spun out of the Lady Ball program, but, you know, in her eyes, it was like, you took this concept, you took something that was, you know, it didn't exist, and you've breathed life into it, and you made it out of something, and you know, you branded it, and you know, she was just really
impressed. You had a creative vision.
Right. Right. But it's no different than her creative vision for Tennessee, you know, and
that's
I
right.
think she may have seen that, right, as well. And so she was so supportive of, I mean, she bragged to people. She'd call me when she had friends over, she had family over. She'd call and say, I got everybody in the house sleeping in Sheiks, and Michelle, why don't you tell them about Sheiks? And, you know, and so she'd buy them, and she'd gift them, and she'd call me, and it was like, it was really amazing. And so that's when I really, and I don't want to say that it didn't happen when I was coaching, but it was just, I was in like a lull moment with her, and then once I became, you know, stepped outside of basketball, it was like she respected me in a whole different way and really appreciated, you know, and I learned all the lessons that she taught me, I'm using as an entrepreneur, as a leader of a company. I mean, she led her program. I'm leading my company in the same, you know, in a very similar fashion. And I've taken good notes over the years. And I think I'm more successful, obviously, because of having been impacted by Pat Summitt.
And it's amazing when you have that breakthrough moment yourself internally, suddenly all of it becomes a slice of gold to you. That's beautiful. Finally, it's patsummit.org. That's where you can go to get the details for this. It's October 17th through the 28th. People can make pledges to this. You're going to do all 1,098 miles in honor of one of the truly great coaches in any sport at any time. I wish you nothing but the best. And I wish you nothing but the best of luck with Sheiks. It sounds like it's an incredible concept. I know it's a fight every day because that's what business is like. But I want to wish you nothing but best, and also for giving us some time today. I really appreciated it.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed the conversation greatly.
Same here. Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you.
One of the truly great players in the history of the game, because she played for one of the truly great coaches in the history of the game. That's Michelle Marciniak, and what a player she was. But listening to how Pat Summitt pushed and pushed, and the reason Pat Summitt pushed is that she saw she saw a top end in Michelle that maybe even Michelle didn't realize she had, that there was a little bit more she could give. And Michelle gave her all she could during the course of her career. That's why they won. And now she's out there understanding every day you got to put it out there to the top end every single day in business. And that's why Pat Summitt was so proud of what she's doing today, because of that creativity to be that entrepreneur and come up with a concept and then have the guts to make it work. Pat Summitt did that in women's basketball. Michelle Marciniak's doing that in her business. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Attention Central Pennsylvania. Now is the time to check out Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has 25 brand new Elantras starting at $17,820. Sunbury Motors Hyundai is discounting all new Sonatas, $3,978. Choose from 22 Sonatas starting at just $18,967. All new Hyundais come with America's best warranty, 10 years, 100,000 miles. Why would you buy another import for more money and not as good of a
warranty,
when you can save thousands at Sunbury Motors Hyundai.
If an SUV is on your list, Sunbury Motors has 14 Tucson 4x4s starting under 23 grand.
Attention, Central Pennsylvania.
Now is the time to see what you can get for your money at Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And at sunburyhyundai.com. Now is the time,
and Sunbury Motors Hyundai is the place.
True refreshment can come in many forms, but it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket. Brewer's Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place, the Beverage Supermarket. Brewer's Outlet in Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
The Cubs, by the way, are winning today over the Cardinals 8-2 in the top of the seventh inning. John Lackey, the starting pitcher, got thrown out of the game. He threw a pitch essentially down the middle, and it was called a ball. And Carlos Martinez, the opposing starting pitcher, was at the plate. And Wilson Contreras and Lackey both got thrown out of the game. And then the next pitch, Martinez singled. And Lackey was tossed out after the hit and the run scored. We already know Lackey's got a fiery personality to begin with, and Wilson Contreras then took his mask and he slammed it to the ground, and Joe Maddon's trying to calm him down, and then he gets tossed. Joe Maddon's like, oh, it's all right, here, let me yell at him. It was a fiery look today behind the plate. This doesn't happen often in baseball because of the replay rule. You don't see managers running out and kicking dirt on a base or anything like that because they can challenge. Well, you can't challenge balls and strikes. And the pitch he threw, and I've seen the pitch, he threw it right down the heart and he called it a ball. I mean, Martinez is walking to the dugout because he knows he struck out and then turns around and says, oh, wait, okay, I guess I'm still up. Cubs are winning 8-2 now, trying to win that Central Division and make a step toward the playoffs.
I'll tell you what, though, with the Cleveland streak, with the Arizona streak, and, you know, people dialed in with the Dodgers earlier in the season, that's really one team that a lot of people just aren't talking about, the Cubs. I mean, just because of the fact, yeah, they finally got the monkey off their back and won the World Series last year. But, yeah, it's like no pressure on them to repeat this year.
Yeah, well, that's from the outside looking in. You don't know how much internal pressure they feel to win it. So, as the defending champs. But they could be very dangerous once they do get in. It's not they know a group of guys that don't know how to win it. All right. Speaking of in it to win it, was he undefeated last week?
Cleaned the decks 6-0. Smoking 10-1 after 2 weeks.
No way.
Way.
Huh. Well, I could go 0-6 this week, right? So, I don't like to gloat.
No, you're not that kind of guy.
No.
Yeah, I've known you now for a year. I don't get that vibe from you. No.
No, I was moonwalking down the driveway.
Yeah, I bet you were.
I was waving to people going down the street. I was, yeah. Did a split. So, called an ambulance.
No. There you go.
Well, yeah, it was a good week. So, got them right.
All right. All right, so what do we have this week?
All right, so we got two college, four pro for this week, so we'll just jump right into the big college games for tomorrow. A blackout has been declared in Louisville. The Cardinals will entertain Clemson tomorrow.
Oh, blackout. You mean everyone's wearing black?
In the crowd, yeah.
Wow, they didn't sell the game out? Well, okay.
Oh,
forgive me.
Yeah, well, yeah, no TV blackout, no.
That was a bit slow there. There you go. So, who goes first?
No, why not you?
Okay. I don't know. Florida was pitiful. Their opening game, they average half a yard per carry, and I know it's against Michigan.
This is Clemson-Louisville, right?
Clemson-Louisville.
Oh, Clemson-Louisville. I thought you said Tennessee-Florida first.
No, nope. Okay. Clemson-Louisville.
Okay, all right. Well, I'll go Lamar Jackson. And for some reason, Lamar Jackson's gone under the radar for the Heisman Trophy at the start of the year anyway. I mean, they're talking about the Penn State kid. They're talking about that guy is a great college football player. I think he's accounted for 700 yards by himself so far this year. I think it's a tough spot for Clemson on the road. Clemson's still trying to find itself. Their offense is not very strong. I'm going to take Louisville at home.
Clemson with a great performance last week on defense. 11 sacks versus Auburn. I think the defense will continue. I'm going to take Clemson.
Normally, I get into these matchups, and I usually talk about the team with the better quarterback. It's obvious Louisville has the better quarterback. I'm not big on Clemson's quarterback just yet, but what I am big on is Clemson's defense. Lamar Jackson last year stalled tremendously in the final 2 months of the season against quality defenses. He'll stall again tomorrow night. Clemson will win.
He's a different quarterback this year.
Oh, well, but yeah, what he did last week against North Carolina, that was just insane. What a
performance. He's trying to be a drop-back passer, and he's doing his checks. He's checking off the first receiver, and he's going to the second and third, and then he thinks about running, and that's something he didn't do last year.
Well, let me put it this way.
He's a dangerous quarterback.
Let me put it this way. The words that you never hear in the same sentence, Alabama's defense and North Carolina's defense, you never hear them in the same sentence.
Well, that's true. That's true.
North Carolina's not very good.
Well, we'll see.
All right. So now we'll move on.
Oklahoma sucked too, right?
They played
that big
a
offense,
great football
that
game.
Defensive line for Ohio State. Ooh. So, okay.
Well, they are good. I mean, they are good, but as you know, I have not been huge on Ohio State for months now. I mean, as I've said, you can't keep replacing a secondary every year, which they've been doing. And I've mentioned JT Barrett being square peg, round hole. I'm not sure it's quite the fit in the offense. So that part didn't surprise me at all. It's how well Oklahoma played defense. That's what really got me in that game.
Yeah. Ohio State will still be there at the end. They're a good team, good athletes.
I think they're good. I do not think they're great.
Right. I don't think they've recovered from the whipping they took against Clemson. So.
And I said that in the offseason. I'm not saying this now because they've lost to Oklahoma. As Sean, you know, I've been saying it for months.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yep.
So why did you pick them to win?
Because here's the reason I picked them to win last week.
Seriously.
Okay. They were at home, which I thought could be a factor. And I still wasn't completely sold on Oklahoma's defense because in the Big 12, it's really hard to gauge how good anybody's defense is in the Big 12.
Yep. No, you're right. You're right. So everybody knows where Ohio State's at. I think mentally, they're still a little bit shot.
But they're going to go on a winning streak now because they've got the underbelly of their schedule before they finally get into the Penn State game on the 28th of October.
Penn State's going to wipe the field with them. Penn State's a complete team. Okay, next game.
Okay, King.
No, I don't want to run out of time.
No,
we only
good.
Did one game.
All right, let's go to that SEC game. Tennessee and Florida. The game will be played at Gainesville tomorrow.
Like I said, Florida, their offense is pitiful, and I know it was against Michigan, but when you average a half a yard per carry, you cannot run the ball, and I am steadfast with you have to be able to run the ball. I've got Tennessee's a more balanced team. I got Tennessee.
Yeah, you combine that with, you know, no running game like you said, and they didn't play last week. So, you know, they could come out flat and rather rusty just with not being out there so far.
Right.
I'm going Tennessee.
Yeah, I'm going Tennessee. It's interesting. Jim McElwain was brought into Florida because he's a great offensive mind. And they haven't played well offensively since he got there.
Isn't their quarterback the quarterback from Notre Dame?
Yes, he's one of them. He's one of the three.
Yeah, okay.
No, all right, so we'll jump to the pros here for Sunday. 1 o'clock Sunday, got Tennessee at the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Jags are coming off a big win. Tennessee coming off a tough loss. I think the Jaguars got a lot of momentum, and they have a tremendous defense. They lost Robinson for the year, and that hurts, but they're a good football team because I don't think Houston's that bad. I got the Jaguars.
I'm taking Jacksonville as well. Yep, defense will keep rolling.
Marcus Mariota, I'm taking Tennessee to win by 10.
Ooh.
Wow. Who'd you take Tennessee, Florida, Steve?
I took Tennessee.
Okay.
So it's an all-Tennessee day for me.
Yep.
And we just had a great player who used to play for Pat Summitt, so I was kind of tugged toward Tennessee anyways.
Good old Pat.
All right, so
we have two. Too bad you didn't have Memphis on here. I could have really gone to town. Go ahead.
Also, it's Sunday, 1 p.m. You can catch it live over on Eagle 107. Merrill Reese, Mike Quick, Howard Eskin with the Eagles going up against Andy Reid at the Chiefs.
I love Kareem Hunt. That kid's a good football player. Chiefs got a big offensive line. They can run the ball. They got a good, steady quarterback. I like the Eagles. The Eagles are a good football team. I think it's a tough spot for the Eagles with the Chiefs at home after beating the Patriots. I got the Chiefs.
Well, you figure, you know, they played a week ago yesterday, Kansas City, and when Andy has more time to prepare, he's got that track record. His teams play great. And plus, you got the Eagles playing two games in a row on the road. That's never really easy. So I've got KC.
You know, lost in the first of all, I thought the Eagles played really, really well in the win over Washington. But what really was lost in the Patriots game, there was so much talk about the Patriots this and the Patriots that. Typical low-hanging fruit commentary. Is that Kansas City played really well. They're a good team, Chiefs.
All right, so we got Dallas and the Broncos at Denver.
Again, I am a running picker. The Cowboys' offensive line is absolutely dominant, and that offensive line has turned two young players into superstars that would be good, but on another team, not superstars. That's how good their offensive line is. And right now, I think the Cowboys are the best team in football. I got Dallas.
I got Dallas, too. Everybody talking about the offense and Zeke Elliott. Got to give props to Sean Lee. Had a great game last week against the Giants.
For sure. Yeah.
Now, when they play the Giants, I can't pick the Cowboys.
Duly noted
two times
last
a year.
Week, yes.
If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I said the other weeks I can do whatever I want. Dallas will beat Denver. They're just a better team.
Yes.
All right, and now we have the primetime Sunday night matchup. Of course, earlier in the show, had a chance to talk to Mike Conti from the Falcons Radio Network, and it's going to be the unveiling of the Mercedes-Benz Stadium for the Falcons, their first home game in their new digs as they take on the Packers. Rematch of last year's NFC Championship game.
Well, it's another toss-up. Two veteran quarterbacks, two quarterbacks who'd love to get to the Hall of Fame with Super Bowls. I don't believe the Packers got tested against a very weak Seattle offensive line, so their defense looked like the Chicago Bears of old. The Seattle's got big problems on their offensive line, and that created – Russell Wilson had no time to throw the ball. He was ducking half the time. I'm going to take the Falcons, even though they struggled a bit against the Bears. I think the Falcons, their new stadium, It's a bad spot for Green Bay.
Quite a few heard Seattle. We're saying Seattle would get to the Super Bowl. That was a very lackluster performance by them last week. So, but I've got the Falcons for Sunday night. Yeah, but same, just like what you said, Kevin. Yeah, new digs, wrong spot, wrong time for Green Bay.
Right.
New digs, not a great spot. Good enough for Green Bay. They'll win.
Oh.
Spoil You're taking
party.
Green Bay?
Yeah.
That's a fair
I'm
pick.
Taking Green Bay.
That's a good...
I find it very difficult to pick against Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, me too. But...
Matt Ryan's really
great last week. You know, Seattle's offense was, and that's pretty typical across the NFL. Is very weak offensive lines.
I think the league's been boring through a week in a game.
Yeah, and they've got major league problems. Their ratings are lower than last year. I love football. I'm having a hard time sitting and watching the game start to finish. College football, fine. The pros, it's one commercial after another, and you just lose interest.
Well, Steve earlier this week was reeling off the college football ratings, and pretty much all the great games last weekend got very, very good ratings. It's just going to be interesting 5 years down the road if college football could take over the NFL in terms of ratings and popularity. I mean, just the passion and the energy and the, you know, just the scene you enjoy, whether you're at a game or watching a college football game. I mean, it's just, can't beat it.
Yeah, it's got the rah-rah thing that we all like to have. You know, you're rooting for your team. The NFL's lost its rah-rah. It's just turned so corporate that, and if they don't figure it out, they're going to have problems. This Thursday night football, they're trying to saturate the market, and it doesn't work. I don't know. They'll figure it out because they've always made changes. They're not like baseball. Baseball doesn't change anything, you know. But the NFL will adjust to it, but they have not figured out why they're losing their audience. And it's pretty simple. Too many commercials.
Well, that's part of it. I also think that the NFL is so homogenized. Everybody runs the same thing. Now let's look at college. Well, you've got several teams like USC, UCLA, Wyoming, Nebraska running a pro-style offense. You get a couple of teams out there like Air Force and so forth that run the option offense. Then you've got some teams out there that run the RPO offense, like that's what Penn State runs. So if you're a defensive coordinator, every week you have a new challenge in the style of offense that you're about to see. Penn State's going to see an RPO offense this week in Georgia State. Next week they're going to see a pro-style offense in Iowa. They'll see a pro-style offense in Indiana, then an RPO offense in Northwestern, back to a pro-style offense in Michigan, then an absolute RPO offense when it comes to Ohio State. So every week you've got something that is completely different. And as a fan, you know, a Lamar Jackson 1 week, right? Then you're going to look at the Tennessee-Florida game. You got two different styles in that game compared to what you're going to see in the Louisville-Clemson game. The games are all different.
And they're good games. I love the way they've made these schedules where you got good teams playing each other right away, and you can't wait to see the game. You know,
right.
You have this thing. I can't wait to see that Louisville game. I can't wait to see the Penn State game. I can't wait to see any NFL. I love it, but I lost my can't wait to see that game. You know, it seems like college football, every week there's a Super Bowl. You know, there's a Oklahoma, Ohio State. You know, there's a big game that you want to see. There is no big game in the NFL until you get to the playoffs.
Plus, nobody takes any chances. Every time you turn around, it's safe, safe, safe. I'll give you a good example, and Sean knows I use this about the Giants-Cowboys game. Eli Manning and the Giants offense, which has really struggled anyway, takes over the ball with about, 2.5 minutes to go, Sean, in the game?
Yep.
They're down 16 points, which means they need two touchdowns and 2 two-point conversions. And they spend the entire 2.5 minutes nibbling their way down the field and end the game with the ball 38 yards away and still down two touchdowns and 2 two-point conversions. Right? I don't care if you throw an interception there. Okay? Take a shot. You have no chance unless you go for it. None. And it's dink and dunk. I mean, I sat there and said, this is awful to watch. Take a shot at this thing. Get down there. Put your team in a position. Oh, if they pick it off, what? You're still down 16 points? Oh, okay.
Yeah,
instead of ending the game on their 38-yard line, still down 16 points, what did you accomplish? Exactly zero.
I think you're spot on. One of the greatest football games I've ever seen was the Rose Bowl last year. What a game. Nobody, either team quit. Even though Penn State lost, that was a great, great football game. Exciting. You know, my wife was into it. She's screaming and yelling, and it was great. You don't see that in the NFL. You just don't see it anymore. It's, you know, and then they're all hugging each other after the game. You know, you never saw that back in the day. They hated each other, you know. It's like, yeah, good game. See ya. You know, these guys are, like, doing selfies and trading shirts and all this other crap, and you're like, wow, they really kind of like each other, you know. And everybody's trying to get the super highlight on SportsCenter, you know, the big hit or the, you know, whatever it is. It's they've got to figure it out, because they're not going to lose their brand, but it's going down, and I don't know. it'll never be gone. It's too much. It's too good to be gone. But they've got to change what they're doing.
Roger Goodell's goal is to make this a $25 billion industry. They've gone from $9 billion up to $14 or $15 billion under his reign. If they keep going the way they're going right now, they will never come close to $25
billion. No. And you bring up a good point about the money. It's all about the money. And the players like it all about the money because they get to make more money. But it's... They're losing their... General Motors went out of business. General Motors was broke, you know? And just imagine that. The NFL can go in the opposite direction. How much do you really need to profit before you ruin your product? And they're working hard at ruining it. So,
well, that's, you make a really good point.
So much money, you know?
Yeah, you make a really good point.
They're going to price the networks right out of it, because the networks, they struggle. Remember ABC had to give it up because they were losing money on Monday Night Football?
Right.
I mean, that's hard to swallow.
Yeah.
It hasn't changed. So.
Nope. All right. Well, let's see if you can go 6-0.
No, I hope you guys go 6-0 too. So it's going to be fun. It's going to come right down on the wire again. So
all right,
we'll just keep picking.
Just keep picking away. We'll keep doing it. Sean, we'll see you tomorrow.
Looking forward to it very much, sir. You bet.
And did the suit ever show up for the game?
Nah, he must be in lockdown doing final prep or something. Or got an early start heading down the hill to the stadium. I haven't seen him.
Okay.
Lockdown.
No, it is the rivalry game.
The news tonight.
Well, we got the big rivalry game, Kevin, tonight down here in Sunbury with Shikellamy and Seawins Grove with the get the big backyard scrap tonight.
Well, fortunately for us, Eagle 107 has that broadcast where they've been studying all week, so it's no last second lockdown there.
No.
But you'll get the Shikellamy broadcast here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Penn State football tomorrow. It's 7:30, 6 o'clock the airtime here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Text from the suit on my way.
To where?
The stadium.
Did he specify that?
He just said on my way.
He could be going to Brewer's Outlet.
That's true. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
He already did.
I strongly recommend it. And we may find out if he already went to Brewer's Outlet based on the second half. All right. Thanks.
We're your home for news, sports, weather, and your home for the Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK, Sunbury.